same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd reach up?
Who'd have thought they'd reach up?
Tease him a lot because we got him on the spot.
Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back to Comic Culture, the radio show that entertains, and champions the local comic book
shop. We do that. I just said doo-doo.
Yeah. We're broadcasting, as always, on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio here in lovely Hamilton, Ontario. Podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. And getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Dorilia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, sometimes professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Yes, and we are your tongue-tied duo.
And always, well, not always, sometimes, and like today, to my left, we have young Shecky Feldstein, producer extraordinaire. How are you there, young Shecky?
Hey, doing okay. And, you know, I feel like that theme song was written for me today. You know, well, welcome back, right?
Seeing as you were the one that put it in there, I could...
Yeah.
All right,
he's
then.
The only guy that welcomes himself back.
Well, welcome back, Thor.
If no one else is giving me credit or kudos, I have to do it to myself.
Yeah.
Well, no one else will.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point.
And I'm doing okay.
You're your own favorite
champion.
Yeah. We like to champion comics. He likes to champion himself.
Yes.
And you know,
hey, welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, I was on vacation the last week, the week before.
So how'd it go on vacation? Good?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. You know, it was fabulous. It was relaxing. And, you know, like, I came back, though, and, you know, it was late last week. Yeah. And, you know what? I felt like I had a little bit of a cold coming, so if I do have a little nasal issues, I apologize to everyone. You know what I think it was, though, looking back now?
The polysporin?
No. You know how you go? Oh, maybe I needed more polysporin. You know how you go to, like, hotels or resorts or whatever? You got your nice little package soaps.
Yeah.
And you got your little boxed or your, like, shampoos or whatever in the new thing.
Yeah.
So I figured everything in the bathroom is new and for use, right?
Right. Right.
So I'm using the soap, scrubbing up, using the shampoo, scrubbing up. And the toothbrush that's there on the sink, then I use that at night, too.
Yes.
Wasn't in a bag or a box. That may have been left behind.
That's all right.
Yeah, anyway. It's probably not a good idea.
Well, hindsight's 20/20, Chris.
Hey, listen, you still didn't pay for it. And in the long run, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Let's hope so. Let's hope that's all I caught from the toothbrush.
All right. Well, Chris, listen.
Depends on how your weekend went.
It's good to have Shexter back because he gives you and I some sort of guidance.
That's true.
If there's anything we need.
It's guidance. It's guidance. Yes.
And someone to collectively make fun of together, I found.
Not necessarily. Sometimes you make fun of yourself.
Yes. So you know what? You do our job for us sometimes. Yeah. Don't worry. Now, this is the normal part of the show where you and I talk about what?
How are you doing? New comics?
We already did that.
Well, let's talk about new this week.
New this week. That's a good.
Do we have a sponsor for the new this week there, Shecky?
Of course we have a sponsor. New this week, brought to you by Vacations to Paradise. Don't pull a Jonah Jameson and relieve some tension with a fun in the sun vacation, just like Supes would do.
I'm a little lost on that.
You know, Superman recharges himself with the sun and everything.
But don't pull a
Jonah Jameson's like the tension ball, just yelling at people and angry.
Right,
and,
you see, you mixed up.
Parker!
You mixed companies for me. I got confused.
Mixed company?
Yeah, well, I'm in mixed company. That's for sure.
You know, with your attitude, I can't believe you ever see company.
Whew.
Oof.
You know what I like? I like the camaraderie we're setting up. We're off to a really good. Jovial
show
start.
To talk about comics.
Man, yes. I'm glad to be back, boys.
All right, listen, we are here to talk about new this week.
Yes,
and
we are.
I got a smattering.
A smattering.
Smattering of different types of comics here for you today. First up, number two of Star Wars, Rebel Heist.
Rebel Heist.
Rebel Heist.
Rebel.
You just pulled a heist. It's your heist. You know what I really like? I really like all the different types of stories that they're coming up with Star Wars these days.
Hot stuff that I just stole.
Are we going to talk about books?
Sorry.
We are. Don't you worry. But it's kind of interesting. This is like a... It looks kind of like... Did you ever see the show Alias?
Alias?
It's kind of like Alias with Jennifer Garner.
Oh no!
It's kind of like a like an Alias type show, a type comic book, but with it's got like a Princess Leia theme to it, and it has a rockin' cover by Adam Hughes.
Oh, I
as
like
well.
Adam Hughes.
Yeah,
so, I like Adam Hughes.
He's a big Star Wars fan.
Hey, and he does a Carrie Fisher likeness.
Yes,
on
he does very
Leia.
Good. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
So the whole book is kind of interesting. It's as I said, it's kind of like an espionage kind of thing. I like it. It's fun.
Espionage. Hey, that's Star Wars Rebel Heist number 2 at your local comic book shop today.
All right. So next up, man, you know, you mentioned this book.
Yeah,
as we were putting them, as I was helping you put them out today.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it's still around. So this
Which book is that?
It's Clive Barker's. Yeah, I can't believe it. What book is that? Talking to old man Walt today.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't
old
remember,
man River.
I don't remember anything. Clive Barker's Nightbreed.
Yeah.
This was a book. Sorry, it was a movie that came out like.
I wonder if his name is Clifton.
Why would you say that?
Clive.
Is it? I don't know. Is that wait, is that slang?
Clive
is that like Robert and Bob kind of thing?
Yeah.
Jim and James?
Yeah, Clifton is Clive.
Is it?
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Well, is that a thing though? Is like Clifton?
I know one Clive, and his name is Clifton.
Oh, okay, so it could be. Yeah. Anyways,
why not call him Cliff?
Well, would you rather be called Cliff or Clive?
I'm not sure. How about you?
You know, if I had the name Cliff or Clive, I'd probably prefer Clifton. Although if I was Clifton, I'd probably have to wear an ascot all the time.
What's an ascot?
Is that like a protection device?
Is that like a jock?
It's like one of those tie things. It's like a scarf tie thing.
Okay.
You know? It's like, it's an ascot knot.
Okay. Ascot knot. You probably put that in your pants too.
If I had the name Clifton, I just might. I might need to.
You might have to buy two.
You know what? Forget it. I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
No, what are we talking about?
Clive Barker's Nightbreed.
Yeah, that's available at your local at your local comic shop.
Okay.
Producer's notes to all the Cliftons, Clives, Cliffs, and et cetera. Take no offense from the buffoonery.
This is going well.
Oh, yeah,
this bit, this segment right here.
All okay, right. Listen. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Coming up in August, the new movie. The comic is a lot of fun. Written by Brian Michael Bendis and penciled by Nick Bradshaw and Cameron Stewart. You know what? I love this book. Anytime you have a book about a talking raccoon and a talking tree, you know, but this particular issue.
What do you mean anytime you have a book about a talking raccoon and a talking.
Hey, I'm
I believe
you.
This is the only time.
Maybe if there was others, this would be the one.
Yeah.
Listen, so it's got cameos aplenty in this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil all
Camel
of them.
Camel what?
Not camels.
Oh.
Cameos.
Cameos. Okay, cameos. Not camelos.
Hold on. What's a camelo?
I don't know.
Okay. Got camelos aplenty, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away all of them, but even Venom is in this one.
Get out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, listen,
wow.
That's Guardians of the Galaxy number 15 at your local comic book store today.
That's my job.
Sorry. Well, you know, you called it camelos. I wasn't too sure if you could actually talk about it.
Well, hey, listen, check that out at your local shop.
Hey, I think I know what camelos are.
What's that?
They're like a woman's jock.
Oh! All right, listen.
No.
No, those are ruse.
Ruse?
I don't know. I'm just
like under ruse?
Yeah.
Do you remember that when they like used to have like, you know, superheroes on them and
stuff
like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was in grade school.
I was in grade school.
I was in grade school 80 years ago.
Yeah.
There was I'm not going to say his name, but there was this kid that used to wear his underoos as for gym class.
Nice.
Like, he used to go around running around as Robin.
Oh, you know my what? Goodness.
I'm not going to be disgraced or embarrassed to say that I have a pair of Marvel superhero boxer briefs.
Don't need to see that right
no,
now.
No, I don't need to see that.
No. Luckily, this was radio.
Another time.
Luckily, yeah. Yes.
All right. Chris, do you have another book for us? What are you doing?
One final book. I just wanted to mention that, you know, we're running out of time here already.
And maybe
he
actually read a book, so maybe this one he actually read.
Scott Lobdell, Ed Benes on Superman number 31. Cool-looking book. Great story. You know, it starts off with Superman in chains being held captive by Lex Luthor.
Superman's in chains. Wow, this is nice. And she's like the Hulk or something on the cover.
Yeah.
Right? She-Hulk?
I think that's Lois Lane.
Is that Lois Lane?
Yeah.
Looks like She-Hulk.
Well, that would be another company, but you know, whatever. It's all good.
Right, okay. Yeah. And she looks really pissed. And that is available at your local comic book shop today. And Chris, I mean, you picked two there, and they're fine.
Yeah.
And but there are literally thousands more.
Literally thousands.
Hitting your local comic book shop
today. Yes.
So we encourage all the listeners to go in and support their local comic book shop.
Yeah.
And peruse the new this week.
And you might find something you like.
You may not.
Well,
but you may.
Chance.
You never know.
You never know.
You don't know until you try.
All right. Listen, Shexter, we got some music. We gotta calm this puppy down.
Oh, I know. I know. All right, we got some music lined up. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, 'cause I eat the spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
He's just spinach.
He's strong to the finish, 'cause I eat the spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
One tough gazookas that hates all palookas that ain't on the up and square. Biffs a man, buffs a man, always out roughs a man, none of them gets nowhere.
That's good. Hey, I do a really good Popeye impression.
Do you?
I know how it's going to
sound. That is just as good as your Chewbacca.
No.
Maybe better.
Yeah. Hug.
And of course, that was Popeye the Sailor Man from the film.
From the movie by Robert Altman.
There you go.
Yeah, with
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams was in it, but Robert Altman was the director.
No. Robin Williams was Popeye.
Yes.
And you know who did all the music for that soundtrack, by the way?
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams. So hold on a second there. So wait, this. So
back
Brian,
it up.
Brian, beep, 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 beep. So Brian Williams, who is the host of CBC Olympics.
Okay.
You're saying he did the music.
Okay, maybe not Brian Williams. Who am I thinking of?
John Williams?
John Williams. Yes.
Harry Nilsson.
Now we have...
Who's Harry?
Kim Jong-un doing the 90-meter ski jump. Look at her go. The thrill of victory. The agony. Of the show.
Right. Listen, I have no idea who. Well, who did you say? Harry and the Hendersons? Oh, Harry Nilsson.
Yeah.
Is he the guy that does all the ratings?
He was a big singer from like the 60s, 70s, James
Harry
Taylor's
Nilsson.
Time and everything.
Yeah. Isn't he like on Hockey Night in Canada?
Can we just push through? Let's push through. Let's get there.
Okay.
What are we doing? I'm not good with names.
Shecky, do we have a new this week? Do we have a sponsor for? First of all, do we have mail? Do we have any mail this week?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's probably a good thing.
Who's mailing us?
Did we ever talk about poor Keith Arsenault, who kept on writing into us? And I think we kept on putting him off.
Yeah, well, let's put him off one more week.
Sorry, Keith. We'll get to you one day.
We'll get to you, buddy.
Keith,
don't worry. Hang in there, all right?
I sincerely apologize for this.
Keep writing your fan mail.
All right.
Okay, listen.
Yes, industry news.
Yes.
Brought to you by Superhero Pez Dispensers. What other way can you make superheroes feed you candy personally? Hey, Mom, if Spidey feeds me candy, it can't be that bad.
Very good point. Right. Hey, what's your favorite Pez candy?
I don't know what Pez candy.
Strawberry.
I've never had
strawberry.
A Pez candy.
Oh, no?
No,
mm-hmm.
I know what the Pez things
are.
I've actually
never had Pez candy.
Maybe that explains a lot of your personality.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you don't need any more sugar in your life.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. I've never had one, though.
No, well, you know, we'll make it.
What is good? Here, let me get a recommendation from you in case I like, happen upon one.
I like cherry and orange.
I heard you like cherry.
I think one of our listeners should send in a Pez candy to Walter Duralia.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm
make
gonna,
a cherry.
I'm going to connect some dots here.
Yeah.
Which big celebrity favorite candy is Pez?
Jessica Simpson.
Okay, too celebrity? Long. Jerry Seinfeld. Connect that to which actor made the most money, you know, year to year? Seinfeld makes $400 million a year.
Wow.
So you're saying that if I eat Pez candy, I might make $400 million a year?
Well, you got to make Seinfeld and then get paid up.
I have to
up
make
the,
Seinfeld?
Out of the wazoo for residual royalties.
Chris, yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you and I have found the vehicle right here.
I think you're right. I don't know.
We're on to something here,
absolutely.
Pal.
Absolutely.
Wait till it catches.
We are.
I don't know why we're not already making $400 million a year. All right, listen. Industry news. So we got to talk about Ant-Man and Daredevil. So Ant-Man was going to be one of the big Marvel movies coming up in 2015. The guy named Edgar Wright, who was the director on the show.
Burroughs?
No. Edgar Wright Burroughs did not.
He did Tarzan.
He created Tarzan,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Director Edgar Wright has left
the
production.
Nephew?
No.
No?
Maybe.
He's unrelated?
Wouldn't his name be Burroughs then? Seeing as Edgar Wright Burroughs.
Fair enough. Maybe you just shortened it.
That's possible.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Keep going.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Anyways, Edgar Wright, who's been on the production of Ant-Man since 2006, so a good 8 years now, apparently he
has left the building.
He's left the building. Elvis has left the building. Edgar Wright has left the building over differences in their vision of the film between him and
I read
Marvel
that today,
Studios.
Chris, and this concerns me. This concerns me for a few reasons.
Okay. Reason the first.
Okay. Well, he's actually quarterbacked this whole thing. He's the guy that brought on Michael Douglas is
Michael
a good
Douglas.
One too, right?
Yeah.
He brought on Michael Douglas to be Ant-Man,
yep.
The Pym Ant-Man.
Yeah.
He's been at this since the beginning.
Yeah.
He's been the guy quarterbacking the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we're right near the end now. We got the script. We got the actors. We got everything.
Yep.
And now, like, they're quoting it as, hey, you know, we're having a difference of artistic opinion or something like that.
Basically,
like,
yeah.
Is this bad news for this
Ant-Man
movie?
I think it's bad news. However, I think... See, if I'm reading this correctly, it seems like Marvel wants to establish more non-mainstream characters in this movie. So, and he doesn't want to do that.
You know what? If I could throw my two cents in here, which I'm going to anyway.
Sure.
I think it may only end up being a good thing long-term. Now, hear me out. I know that there are tons of people who feel that Edgar Wright is creative, genius of his own kind, which is fair, and especially back in 2006 when it was first proposed and they kind of signed on to do this. This was before the whole Marvel universe took like that phase one, phase two, phase three. Like this is 8 years through the looking glass. Now Marvel has a 10-year project. They've got 10 years of product and films down the line. So I feel that when they first signed on, it was to do like a one of this character, maybe to bring him into
so
the mix.
So this is this guy's kind of personal vision of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
and it was great.
With the corporate
exactly.
Disney
and
vision
now they need to involve so much more and make it so central to the universe.
Yeah.
But he says no.
I
imagine him to have his own standalone struggle and
which
journey
may be a good thing. In
that's
terms
what I'm saying.
Right.
Long term for the Marvel universe,
for
crossovers, for integrating him into the whole Avengers thing, it may be better long term.
Yep. And there's a thing Schickster touched on. Make mine Marvel.
Yeah.
If all the movies are connected, make mine Marvel. If they, do the old, homage to Stan Lee, in the little kind of word bubble there, like reminding you what happened last ish, Stan.
Yeah, yeah.
Make mine Marvel if they make them like the comics of the heyday of Marvel,
right?
Which was the 60s,
right?
In terms of crossing everything over and making everything like that.
Yep.
I don't need a woeful, deep, penetrating story on Hank Pym as a standalone.
Right.
I don't want it.
I
want to buy in to the big joyride
that
picture, is the cosmic Marvel, massive Marvel,
right,
crossover
and then you can
Marvel.
Enjoy every film.
Yeah, I want to have. Okay, guys, You guys go to the movies more than I do.
Yeah.
You guys have lives.
I don't know about that, but yeah,
so,
go ahead.
I know for a fact that you went to the movie last week, or this week, last week. Out of the eight at the Cineplex.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. There was X-Men something.
Yeah.
It's called?
Days of Future Past.
Thank you. There was...
Spider-Man.
Yeah. And there was still Captain America.
Yeah. Possibly, right? Yeah.
On some.
Yeah. Depending where you went.
Yeah. Where you went.
So you had three Marvel movies.
Yeah, great point.
At a Cineplex at one time.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It's very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
And all of them were fun. However, all of them were kind of tied together. Except the Fox.
Spidey wasn't tied.
And the X-Men wasn't tied.
Really, none of them were. And that's my only point is right. That, you know what? The X-Men franchise still did great. I mean, who's to say there couldn't have been an Ant-Man franchise on its own?
And maybe there will be.
And there might be. Initially, Ant-Man was not meant to be part of this whole Phase 2 process.
But it should be.
But it's been amalgamated in.
Yes.
So,
and that's what Shexter's alluding to, that maybe Disney has hijacked this thing.
Because
say, hey.
Ant-Man is supposed to jump into the Phase 3 part. After Avengers 2, mm-hmm. Age of Ultron, this Ant-Man's supposed to tie into the Phase 3 process of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This is a fact. So I can understand, Edgar Wright leaving for creative... control differences, but I can also understand Marvel letting him go because he's a bigger picture.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, listen, I'm for him leaving if I get what I want.
The greater good.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of movies, so the Batman Superman movie with Ben Affleck, of course, it finally gets a title. Warner Brothers has begun shooting the Batman Superman film, and the film is now titled Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Now this sounds like a Steven Seagal movie.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Dawn of Justice.
You say that, I just envision lots of head snaps, like neck snaps.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kicking.
Yes. Dawn of Justice.
So, and lots of Komodos.
This is supposed to, or
tassel jackets.
Yeah.
Tassel. Ooh, I like that. What's it?
The Indians. Am I allowed to say Indians?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Listen.
Natives.
This is supposed to... Sounds like it's going to be with Dawn of Justice. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the beginning of Justice League.
Oh, I get it.
Right?
See, I never got it until you
told
me.
Yeah, I know you didn't. Yeah. I get that.
Which would be smart. It would tie into their whole Justice League announcement. And that's kind of like their phase one. They're finally just kind of kicking their off their line, their sequence of events for films.
So,
okay, hold on. So back that up for me.
Beep, 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 beep.
What you're saying is, if I'm reading you correctly,
yeah,
is that the Superman Batman Out for Justice
or Dawn of Justice?
Sorry,
sure,
Dawn of Justice.
Out for Justice.
Sorry,
apparently it's become a Punisher type movie.
No,
Vengeance.
Dawn of Justice is going to be like a prelude or a lead-in.
Well, okay, to the Justice League movie. So here's the thing.
They
did the Superman movie, and now they're doing this Superman-Batman movie, and the next one's going to have even more people in it, right? So it's going to be like the Justice League-type movie. They're kind of going at it in an awkward... Like, Marvel had, you know, the Iron Man movie, and then the Hulk movie, and then the Thor movie, and then Captain America, and then they come up with the Avengers, right?
Right.
Whereas they're kind of doing, like, you know, they did Superman, then they did Superman-Batman, then they did Superman, like, maybe Wonder Woman might be in the next one or something. Like, you know, they're all going to kind of, like, they're doing it in a completely different way. It's almost like they're doing all the characters all at once, and then going to have split-off movies.
Hey, I got a great Wonder Woman Invisible Man joke. Remind me after.
All right. It's probably a little too lewd for the radio waves.
Yeah, maybe it is. This is exciting, though. I like this. I like this. Hey, did you know?
What's that?
Okay. Did you know, and I'm really bad, I don't know exactly the issue, but it took years, maybe even decades. But since, you know, Batman was 1939, he was introduced. Superman was 1938, he was introduced. I don't think those two characters shared a story for the first decade of their existence.
I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. Is it even Is it more than a decade?
It might have been a decade or in around that area. It might have been late 40s. It might have been like Superman number 76 or something.
When was World's
like that.
Fair comic? New York's World's Fair.
But you see, they were on the cover, but they didn't share stories.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Like, so inside there was a Superman comic, and inside there was a Batman comic.
Oh.
They were both waving
but
to you.
But they weren't actually in the...
Even the World's Finest run,
yeah,
which started in the early 1940s, it always had Superman and Batman on the cover playing baseball and doing...
Yeah.
Inside there was a Superman story and a Batman story, they weren't together until it had to be the late 40s.
That's very interesting.
Wow.
I love it. You just reminded me, you know, Superman and Batman playing baseball on the cover.
Yeah.
Think about where comics came from.
I know. Hey.
But it's so true.
I know.
I've seen those kind of comics where, you know, Superman is up to bat and Batman's pitching or something.
Remember that Superman cover where... you know, he's I don't know, he's like Lois Lane is mad at him because he's broken a spoon and he's in the kitchen with an apron on.
Although, come on. Speaking of covers, one of my favorite covers of all time is, I can't remember, I think it's an Action Comics. It could be just a straight Superman comic.
All right.
No, what am I talking about? It's a Jimmy Olsen comic.
Oh, where he marries the gorilla. And Superman's dressed as a witch doctor.
Superman's dressed as the witch doctor, and he says, and Jimmy's like, come on, but I don't want to marry a female King Kong. And he's like, well, sorry, Jimmy, but as local witch doctor, I now pronounce you man and gorilla.
Nicely done. Yeah. See, but you know what? A personal fetish is a personal fetish.
That's right. Whatever you like.
All right, so, hey, that's exciting, though. Batman and Superman is exciting.
It is.
It's exciting. And I really, really, really hope this movie does well.
I think it will. Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of flack for Affleck. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that don't want to see him as Batman still.
He'll do fine.
But I think he'll be fine.
He'll do fine.
Listen, we got to talk one more movie, then we'll have a musical interlude.
Okay.
X-Men Days of Future Past opened on the weekend.
Right, this past weekend.
I saw it on Friday.
Well, would you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and?
Fantastic.
How many tomatoes?
What's a good tomatoes?
I don't know. I read something about tomatoes.
What's the scale of
tomatoes? Well, there's a Rotten Tomatoes as a website for bad movies. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. So, yeah, you don't want to.
Right.
But listen, it's supposed to be.
You don't want to throw tomatoes. So.
Listen,
So it was good.
Good movie?
Oh, it was great. You know, Chris, I know you're a Cap fan and everything. You know, from an entertainment sort of standpoint, from, you know, a fanboy of just wanting to see lots of big stars, lots of cool CGI, stuff like that, I would probably say X-Men is higher on the list. I would say X-Men did better.
Yeah.
But on a story level, on like a, you know, like the secrets, the lies, on an actual film basis, I would say Captain America was still better.
Okay. Yep.
But X-Men it pulled out all the characters, all your favorites from the first class and from the modern ones.
Probably a little more entertaining, that kind of thing. Like a popcorn munching movie. Yep.
There wasn't tons of fighting and sequences, but there was lots of just drama back and
forth.
Stars and...
Well,
anyway,
it made over $90 million
for the three day opening
in North America.
Yeah,
I believe.
And it made a billion. What did it make? No, no, it made $171 million overseas.
Overseas, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Is,
now, I read a little bit about this earlier, and basically, this movie underperformed compared to the other big X-Men openings.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Stand opened at $102 million Labor Day weekend 2006.
But
overseas was weaker.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So people were saying, I don't know, I was reading a little bit about this. People were saying, hey, this is a disappointing opening for X-Men in North America. I don't know. I need 90 million.
I think 90 million is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
And let's not forget that Godzilla, mm-hmm. I think, you know, we talked about this in the last show. I think Godzilla ate into the profits a little bit because
mm-hmm.
Godzilla still made over $30 million
right.
on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the next one was like 14, 13,
so
7.
There's no Godzilla, X-Men cracks 100.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, for sure. And, you know,
they were forecasting it to break 100 too the entire time, and they were saying, "Oh, you know, if we weren't so overzealous, we'd be saying, I know, 105, maybe 110. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even crack 95.
Remember we were talking, Shecky, you weren't here last week, but we were talking about this last week and the futility now with so many big, you know, it used to be 4 blockbusters opening up a year.
Yeah.
Now there's 15 blockbusters opening up a year. And sometimes they're back to back. And I don't think you can, and plus the fact that some blockbusters people will go see something because they're supposed to.
Right.
But then they'll stop and it'll just fall off a cliff because it's crap. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we have to give X-Men Days of Future Past that month you and I talked about last week.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's see where it sits in a month.
Yeah.
We have so much business now coming from overseas, which is a beautiful place to be.
Yep.
The fact that Marvel and DC and their properties are so well received in places like Europe and Asia and Africa and wherever in South America, and so you know, we have this thing. Oh, it's got to break 100 million or it's a flop. Well, no,
right? Yeah, no, it's not true.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
It might do another 80 million next weekend,
right? And from the reviews that I've seen posted, there's a lot of positive reviews. Shecky gave it a positive review.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. Great.
So
movie.
You know,
I'm hearing great things about
it's going to have a good weekend next weekend. We hope.
Actually,
it's going to have a good weekend the weekend after. And so on and so on, like Captain America.
Yeah,
this will carry through further depth than normal, you know, sort of early summer blockbuster movie would. You know what? I think that this will probably carry through more weeks in screens than Godzilla will.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's got a built-in base, like you said, it's probably a stronger movie.
Yeah. You know what? We got to go. We're talking all about Marvel movies right now. We have to go back for a minute here.
Let's go back.
So hold
how
on.
Far you want to go back?
First of all, I want to say so. Shekster saw X-Men and said it was awesome. My good friend Glennie Kay, who
he was in a bunch of musicals. In the 50s.
Yeah, you're thinking of Danny Kaye.
That's his granddad?
Yes. It was the granddad. He knew Frank Sinatra and Godzilla.
Yes. Because Godzilla was from the 50s,
He was from the 50s, yeah. Yeah, they had dinner together.
Mm-hmm. Never got a dinner.
Listen, Glennie Kaye is a movie reporter or something like that in San Diego.
Or something like that.
Well, he does a lot of movie reporting on websites and things like that. He's got blogs. And he
still listen to the show?
Yeah, he does.
What's his name?
Doesn't matter anymore.
Glennie Kaye.
Glenn, how are you, my friend?
So anyways...
Hey, Glenn, why don't you leave a comment and there?
So he said that X-Men is awesome. Okay.
Right, yes.
But he was also wrote to me... We didn't talk about Daredevil. That's what I was getting at before.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about... Because remember in that same thing about Ant-Man. So there's... Marvel pulled the plug... Or not, I shouldn't say pulled the plug. The guy that was on Daredevil has now... So Drew Goddard has withdrawn from Daredevil. And the Daredevil was going to be a 13-episode series on Netflix.
Right.
And now he's headed somewhere else for the Marvel Universe. He's going to be doing Sinister Six.
Sinister Six.
Right? The Amazing
Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Yes, right.
So Goddard has been replaced by Steve S. DeKnight. And DeKnight will be... helming the new Daredevil series.
Yes.
And he was working on things like Spartacus and Angel and Buffy, so he has kind of that whole thing going on. But interestingly enough, apparently for the whole Edgar Wright thing that we were talking about earlier, Joss Whedon seems to be on Edgar Wright's side, and apparently, so Joss Whedon is the, you know, the big Marvel
Avengers guy.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen with this whole Marvel shakeup and all the different things going on.
You know, I think the good news is this, guys. I'm going to report you the good news. The good news is the juggernaut that is Disney Marvel. The characters are controlling everything. These personalities, these creative directors
they don't put
their chest out and saying, hey, I want to put my personal stamp on this or I'm gone. See ya.
But I will say the niche few, like the 10% who actually see, say, Avengers or who actually see Iron Man movies or something, you know, maybe 10% are actually fanboys. You know, fans.
Of who? Like of guys?
Of the characters. You know, okay, like the 10% of Iron Man, Avengers, mm-hmm. whatever, right? there's surprisingly strong ties to Joss Whedon. People think of this man as a god.
Joss Whedon?
So if Joss Whedon actually starts putting up a stink, that might be a big deal. Edgar Wright is one thing. He's just a creative mind who's been working on this one pet project for a while, and now he can't agree. But if Joss Whedon starts walking for projects, then you better believe there's going to be a disaster.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, you know what they should do? They should bring out that old song.
what old song
would
that be?
There ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. It's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Chris, I think what Walt is trying to say is it's time for a proper musical interlude.
Okay. What do you got up on tap?
Well, you know, since Walt started singing, we have to give him what he wants.
Oh, well,
little,
of course.
A little crants in your pants.
I like that. All right, let's hit it up there.
The sudden urge to lay down.
You know, I was going to say I feel like a drink now, but
or that.
After you say that, I don't want to drink anymore. Yeah. I'm kind of scared, actually.
Listen, you're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
The dreamiest radio station out there.
Out there, yes. And podcasting at Get the Point Radio and Comic Book Daily.
Yeah, are we still on iTunes? I think we're on iTunes, too.
Probably.
Who wouldn't have us at this point?
We're all over.
Just get around. Hold on. Does Get the Point Radio even exist anymore?
I think they do. I say, hey, listen, I want to give a shout out to the girls at something porn. I forget what it's called.
Pop porn.
Something porn.
That is Lee Art and Rachel Ritchie. They're doing a podcast that's just killing us in the ratings every week. Great job, girls. Hey, listen, you've given us. We have to aspire to get to their level,
apparently,
of professionalism. I guess. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Right. All right.
All right. Listen, we got to keep on going here.
Let's keep on moving.
Absolutely.
What do we got there, Shexter?
We got Industry News Part 2, which is brought to you by Dr. No Bobbleheads. The irony sells itself.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because they get to say, you know, the bobblehead looks like yes.
Yes.
But it's Dr. No.
Now, you know, this is maybe a first for Comic Culture Radio.
And what would that be?
Where Walt actually understands.
I get it.
One of the references?
Yeah, I like that.
All right, listen.
You've come a long way, baby.
You know, here we go again. I keep on harping on this, and I maybe shouldn't. Maybe I'm
probably shouldn't.
You know, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Hermes Press.
Herpes Press.
Hermes.
Like the Greek god of meat
or whatever it is.
Greek god of sex.
I don't.
He's got like wings on his sandals or something. I don't know.
The Greek god of sex. So would that be herpes?
Wait, can gods get STIs?
That's the first thing that came to mind.
Greek god of STIs.
Yes.
Thou shalt not love.
Oh, goodness. Herpes. Anyways, Hermes Press. No,
that was the... it was the commercial on TV where the guy's doing deliveries. And yeah. It's like, you know, he's Hermes.
Right.
And he's like, but he's like an average Joe in New York.
Yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
He's like doing deliveries and he's complaining about his feet. I don't
yes,
know what it was
yes,
for.
Yes.
And his boss goes, hey, Herpes, you want to deliver this package? It's Hermes! Anyway.
Oh.
Okay. So what were we talking about?
Yeah. Anyways. Hermes Press.
Bring it back, Chris. Come on. Bring it back.
Beep, beep. Is going to be announcing a new Phantom miniseries written by Peter David. So,
okay, Chris, you and I got to talk about this.
This is the thing.
We have to talk about this.
Who cares?
The Phantom.
The Phantom.
Like the guy wearing the purple leotard
yeah,
and the
yeah,
mask.
Phantom. Okay. Yeah.
Now, I don't get this.
Neither do I.
Is this money laundering?
I don't really know how that would work,
but what
I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, what I'm saying is...
I don't know how it works,
yeah.
But yeah, man.
But I'm in.
Yeah.
But I'm in.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is okay, the Phantom dates back to the probably 1500s as a character.
At least.
Probably.
Maybe the Egyptians.
Yes, maybe even. Right.
So Phantom, hold on. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep.
Phantom is an old radio broadcast
yes.
character.
Kind of like
yes.
the spirit,
and a pulp
right? the shadow,
character.
The shadow. Not
shadow.
The shadow.
Yeah.
Shadow, Lone Ranger, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mandrake the Magician.
Hey, I got a Lone Ranger Tonto joke for you after the show, too.
I don't want anything about your Lone Ranger.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I guess you figured out his joke.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I don't get this. So, what's the company again?
Herpes Press.
Herpes Press. Hermes Press. So, this thing has never, ever worked.
No.
Chris.
No.
It has
never,
ever
no.
worked.
I know.
What's he called again? The Phantom.
The Phantom.
Has never,
never
ever
worked. Even in the old, what was it, Dell? I think Dell
yeah.
printed
well,
Phantom comics.
Did. I think DC
no
did
one,
them. I think,
oh, DC had them for a while.
Yeah.
DC I, had, anyways.
Look, I think look, IDW did them. Image did them. I think Disney did them.
Dynamite did it.
I think Lady Gaga did them.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
There's something spiritual about it with the Phantom.
But I just, you know, I read that today too, and I go, how, why? Why do these companies go
know.
Back to something that they know? Like, do they honestly think that, hey, we're going to turn the Phantom into a viable...
It's going to be like the next Batman.
Yeah, the next property.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
You know what?
Why does this happen?
We keep seeing this all the time on licensed properties like this.
It might be because... Here's a few elements, okay?
Yeah, Shekster usually has a good insight into these things.
Yeah, he's not as jaded as we
yeah,
are.
Let's hear what he has
yeah.
to say.
Hey, you guys just hate things. First of all... it's a superhero, you know, maybe a little fantastic and mysterious property, right? Which first of all, helps sell, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's based in comic book literature, which, again, comic books is only, like, the next big thing. It's pop culture, right? So it's
sure.
helping everything become better than it already was.
Mm-hmm.
Third of all, the licensing for this is probably dirt cheap. Really, the property's
yeah.
going nowhere. It's done nothing since 1990-something when Billy Zane wore the suit and it was a terrible film.
Right.
You know what? It's probably a penny, you know, on the dollar that they have to pay out. So,
right. So
really,
the guy holding
just,
the license to the Phantom, yeah. or to Peter David, went, look,
yeah.
you know, if you want to write a thing, here's my terms.
Yeah.
And Peter David said, look.
Look. I'll do it.
I'll give you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I'll give you a copy of the show when it's done.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'll give you a DVD of the show, of the book when it's done. And that's
okay.
all you're getting. And the guy goes, okay.
Okay, so hold on. Yeah. So it says here that Peter David has been a huge Phantom fan for years.
But you see, though, it's a labor of love type thing, and he tricked somebody into believing that this is going to be something
yeah.
that works.
Or,
okay, well,
or,
hold on.
Or, from what I've learned from being a producer,
yeah.
that's his publicist saying, this is how you answer the press questions, and you say this is a labor of love.
It's
this is something you've loved forever. What? Oh, the Phantom... Okay, I can say that.
Love that
yeah, sure.
Fanboy. Listen, yeah. He did say here, at least in the quotes anyways, I'm thrilled that Daniel Herman approached me about this for the series. I'm taking the opportunity to produce a story I've literally been thinking about for a couple of decades.
You sure have, Peter.
The reason why you've been thinking about it is because no one cares about it.
Yeah.
No one cares to print these things. But you know what? Herpes Press, has been reprinting Lee Falk's classic comic strips for 5 years.
That's Peter's brother, by the way.
One more thing.
Hey, Tobias. One more thing.
You know, he's been reprinting the Gold Key King and Charlton comics of the Phantom. Who cares? That's my problem.
I mean, yeah, who cares? I mean, here's the thing. You know, we live in a world of enterprise, and we live in a world of go out there and make something for yourself. And I just
who's going to buy it?
You know what? Honestly, guys, hear me out for just a second, okay?
Go ahead.
When I first saw the film in 1990-something,
Billy Zane one?
I'm like 10 years old. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know any better. And there were no real effects or anything, so I couldn't be like let down by the lack of effects. But the idea to me is this is some sort of like Indiana Jones type age crusader who, you know, of superhero. Like, it's from like the 30s. You know, everyone's wearing like their hats, like
fedoras.
Their mobsters and everything. Fedoras. Everyone's got like terrible revolver guns and stuff.
Hey, look, Mac.
Hey, listen to you.
Hey, Shay. Hey, what's the big idea?
What? If you style it the right way, if you don't make him look like some weirdo in a purple leotard, this could be okay for like a niche, like a noir sort of.
Yeah, noir thing, with a little Three Stooges mixed in. Certainly.
Wise guy, eh?
You understand what I'm saying, though, right?
Phantom, eh?
Oh, Larry, the cheese.
You understand what I'm saying, though, you two numbskulls, all right? Just don't make him seem like a wimp and is just all popcorn. You know?
Oh, mosquitoes!
Did you ever see the one where the Three Stooges try to teach? They become scholars, and they try to teach the alphabet. And so they take the first vowel of every letter, and they make a song out of each letter, each consonant. So it's like B-A-B-A. B E B B I Bicky Bi B O Bo Bicky Bi Bo B U Boo Bicky Bi Bo Boo C A Say C E C and they go on for the whole song.
Wow!
Yeah,
glad you took us there, Chris.
All right,
anyway, what else do you have?
Director is finally signed on for the first Star Wars film.
Wait a minute.
Beep beep
beep.
First
beep.
Standalone Star Wars film.
So if I am correct, that means that there's the episode, 7?
Yes.
What's the standalone mean? I'm sorry.
Episode 7.
Meow.
Don't worry, Walt.
Wow.
Episode 7, then a standalone, which is like an independent, so it might be like a Han Solo origin.
Right, something like that.
And then it's going to be episode 8. Then it might be like Jabba's origin.
It might be like a Boba Fett movie or something like that.
And then episode 9. So they're going to do interlocking.
They should do a Chewie movie.
You know what? They should. And
you might be the voice.
You should be cast as
Chewie. I don't want to do it.
How do you do your Chewie?
No, I don't want to do it.
Do your Chewie.
That's great.
Yeah.
Listen.
I could be Chewie.
First standalone Star Wars film, Gareth Edwards, director of the recently released hit Godzilla, has been signed to direct. And Gary Whitta, who wrote The Book of Eli, that was with Denzel Washington.
Gary Whitta.
He has been signed on as the screenwriter. So it looks like this is going to... the standalone film will alternate with the new trilogy, which kicks off with Star Wars Episode 7.
What will it be about, though?
We don't know.
Okay.
He's just signed on. I'm sure he knows.
You know what when you say stand, hold on. When you say standalone,
I think we just talked about this. But go ahead.
No, but it is out of continuity, right?
It's out of the episode 1 through 9 story universe.
Yes.
We just talked about this.
We did. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so, as far as I understand,
you got to include me in on this conversation.
As far as I understand, though, it doesn't have to be necessarily between the timeline of like what they're shooting now. So episode 7, when Harrison Ford's 70 years old, the standalone could be Harrison Ford as a 20-year-old kid, like, you know,
punk ass
smuggler, played by some kid somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's the origins of
Han
Solo.
I doubt that they're
even
going to do something like that. I have a feeling they're going to do some sort of offshoot character
to keep it all tied into the same like time frame.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, who knows? It could be
maybe
it could be the story of like the Cantina Bend or
yeah,
like
or Jabba the
Greedo,
Hutt.
Right, some character that
Jabba the Hun, yeah.
Jabba the Hun.
That would be a good movie.
I love Jabba the Hun. he was great in that one movie. What was it called again? Oh, yeah, It Didn't Exist. Oh, goodness.
All right. Hey, listen. I got...
We need a musical interlude. That's what
we
need.
Okay,
we
got
brief musical interlude here. Musical interlude.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You got something signed up for us? Or
I got something from the old Hercules.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
I feel like I want to lay down.
So how about that brandy?
Nice.
Well, it's called Hail Hercules, so I guess it helps when you're falling asleep and on your knees.
I think so. Hey, speaking of Hercules, so...
Chris, never mind. Go ahead.
Let it go, Walt. Let it go.
I'm actually, you know what? We talked about this last week. Young Schexter wasn't here. I'm actually looking forward to the King Conan Schwarzenegger movie.
Yes, I am.
What?
King Conan and the Schwarzenegger. They're shopping it around at Cannes. That's where they were.
What is this?
So it's been confirmed that there's going to be a new Conan movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's been
King
titled
Conan,
King
Conan, aged King of Aquilonia.
Yeah.
So it's going to be him as Conan,
yeah,
but
the
as
old
like the
Conan.
Aid-
The old
that
Conan.
Is amazing. That needs to be done.
King Conan.
But I guess right now they're looking for
money.
Money. What's the
money?
Producers financing. That's what I was looking for the word. Yeah.
If I had 2 cents to rub together, I'd throw it at him.
Yeah. So
hey, listen, guys, I got some things to pass along. Right. I want to talk about Captain Canuck.
Oh, why? What's going on?
Something
with Captain
near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
This year, I believe June 28th.
Okay.
I mean, we're here. You and I, Chris, here at 93.3 CFMU.
June 28th.
FM.
Okay.
McMaster Radio.
Yeah.
I think it means right now.
We're here on this radio station and at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com promoting and championing the local comic book show.
We are.
June 28th, the fine people at Captain Canuck, Inc., not me.
Okay.
Because I do have some sort of Captain Canuck connection in
terms
of licensing.
Well, you're wearing the shirt right now.
Yes. Yeah. But this doesn't involve me at all. Is they're producing a Captain Canuck annual comic book for Canada Day.
Oh, cool.
It's like a massive 64-pager, two 13-page stories.
Nice.
One by Claude Saint-Aubin, who was original.
One original artist,
And one by George Freeman.
Another original artist, creator.
So
that's
very exciting.
Very cool.
And they're going to get these out basically to local comic book shops across Canada.
Okay.
To be given away for free.
For free.
On June 28th. This is an annual. This is a 64-pager.
That's
this
awesome.
Is good stuff.
Now, hold on. This is a brand new comic, not
brand
something that was
new story.
Not that was published years ago and they've got a warehouse full of them somewhere.
Two brand new stories.
Wow. Cool. Okay.
So they're rushing to get that out, and this is kind of exciting news.
Yep.
So if you're listening, inquire with your local comic book shop if they're going to kind of do a Captain Canuck Day. And, of course, June 28th is the Saturday before Canada Day.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Canada Day is actually on a Tuesday this year.
Yes,
I don't know. Some companies are taking the whole 4 days. Some people aren't. Some people have to work on the Monday. But interestingly enough, so for example, you'll probably have a few people come into your store to get a annual Captain Canuck comic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
That's very exciting. So very proud of the Captain Canuck
people.
Great. And Canadian comic book shops. You know, we're a Canadian.
Yep.
Radio show. Hopefully they'll participate in this, I guess. The people at the Canuck, at Captain Canuck have been telling me, oh man,
cool.
There's so much work involved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not involved.
Yeah, for sure.
And because they're doing it right.
Yeah.
Get me involved, it's a whole different story.
Well, yeah.
So, hey, encourage your local comic book shop, I guess, to participate.
Yeah, you know
Captain
what? If you're listening Day. And you're interested in this, go to your local comic book shop. And you know what? If you're one of our overseas listeners, get in touch with us here at the show. Maybe we can send you one.
Yeah, we'll send you a couple for sure.
Yeah.
I wonder how our old man Danny Champ's doing.
Danny Champ, you know what?
Danny!
I say,
old boy. Are you still there,
Chuck? You know what? Apparently, we've got listeners all over the world because we've got Florida, we've got New York, we've got Israel, we've got London.
Yes.
You know, so people are listening
to the
show. We
have New Zealand. Yes, we have. We have like a Kiwi Dan.
Oh, Kiwi Dan.
Kiwi Dan.
I love Kiwi Dan.
Yeah, Kiwi Dan in New Zealand.
Well, if Kiwi Dan, because he's part of the Commonwealth, I think if he wants one of the Captain Canuck comics,
yes.
You should be able to send him one.
Absolutely.
Free of charge.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, that is volunteering you very well. That's very noble
of
you. You're
generous with my money.
Not responsible for any comics that are lost and stolen in the mail.
We only have a few more minutes left. Let's quickly talk about the
Niagara Comic Con is coming up June 10th?
June 6th to 8th.
What's that? A week and a half away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not this weekend coming up.
The weekend after.
The weekend after.
Yep.
At the Niagara Falls. Beautiful Niagara Falls Scotiabank Convention Center.
Nice.
Right in downtown kind of Niagara Falls.
Yep.
Beautiful, brand new facility. And Neil Adams. Is going to be there.
William Shatner.
Bill Shatner.
It's going to be
there. We're on a Bill basis.
We're on a Bill basis.
William Shatner, Neil Adams. This is a great lineup. This is a really good lineup.
It's huge.
There's a whole bunch of people that I don't even remember going to be there, apparently, that are really good.
That seems about right.
Yeah. And the show has just grown stupidly over the last few years.
Well, you know what? If you're a Ghostbusters fan...
Who are you going to call?
Ernie Hudson's going to be there.
He was in Ghostbusters.
Oh my goodness!
There's all kinds of artists and actors. So you know, Jason Priestley is going to be there.
Who's he?
He was in 90210.
Right.
We've got James Tolkien, who was in
he wrote Lord of the Rings. Pretty sure that's a big guest.
I don't know how they got him.
I don't know either. Might as well get what's her name, Angie Dickinson, who wrote
what, Frankenstein?
No, the Hogwarts.
Angie Dickinson. you talking about Harry Potter?
Harry Potter, yeah.
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling. That's who I meant. Right.
Well, let's you know.
She's there too, right?
Yeah, sure. Now, are you a Rocky fan?
Rocky and Bullwinkle? Yeah, I love
him. Rocky the movie.
Hey, Rock!
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, I love that
Remember
one, too.
Remember Paulie?
Sylvester's going to be there?
Yo, Paulie. Yeah.
Burt Young is going to be there.
He's going to break his ribs.
Burt Young is going to be there.
I did the same voice for both characters there.
Ric Flair is going to be there. Tracy Gold is going to be there.
Tracy Lords, I heard, too.
Now, for private VIP
behind the curtain action. Yeah.
Heaven forbid that if you like comics, you might want to go there for some comic artists.
Yeah, why would you?
Why
though?
Would you want to go there?
Kevin, creator of TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman is going to be there.
Yeah.
As well as Arthur Sudum, who is a big zombie artist.
Cover artist, too.
Ken Lashley is going to be there. We got Leonard Kirk, local guy.
Oh, love Leonard Kirk.
You said Neil Adams already. Yeah.
Richard Cumley will be there.
Richard Cumley will be
creator
there.
Creator of Captain Canuck.
Yeah, that's right. So lots of, you know, and if you like Tyler Mayne, who played Michael Myers in the Friday the 13th. No,
the
Halloween movies, rather.
Get a mask.
Yeah. So
I don't buy that. See, I'm sorry.
Lots of great guests.
I don't like guys in masks saying, hey, I was the guy in the mask.
Well, you know... What's wrong with some people like that.
Of those people have been living off fame forever, like Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca. You know, you never see
him. He had
him.
A mask.
Yeah.
Do you Chewy quick.
No, I can't. What's the show? That's it.
Okay, listen, we are running out of time here.
Already. Okay. Don't we have anything else to...
I can't believe we've wasted an hour of people's lives.
Yeah.
I can believe it.
Time well spent.
Yeah.
Listen, comic culture.
Has been produced
by Shecky Feldstein, a.k.a. Marty Berthelmer. It's been, what else has it been?
It's been written by Walter Duralia and Chris Owen.
Yeah.
And
it's been a great show. It's been shown on.
What a calamity.
Oh no! Listen, at 93.3 CFMU, Pastor Radio. What's the radio? What's the
GetThePointRadio.com
and ComicBookDaily.com. Hey, go out and support your local
comic book shop.
At least at this point, when they tune out, they've already listened to the whole show. They've already been suckers, and they've been brought in for the whole 59.
Let's hang on to the end.
If you have any comments, questions, or complaints about the show, you can go to
highlight complaints.
ComicBookDaily.com. Find the show. Scroll down.
Yeah, that's right. Scroll down. I forgot that part. Yeah.
Please go out and support your local comic book retailer. Watch a few X-Men movies. Have yourself a great day and read comics because they're fun to read.
See you next week.